Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. Our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
And now, our Heavenly Father, we're asking this evening that you would be pleased to meet with us. We have the confidence that you indeed will. You promised. We need your help, not only from the pulpit, but in the pews or the chairs, that we be anointed and mouth and ears. We're grateful tonight, our Father, that we can believe that your blessings will be upon us, even as we have sung the showers of blessings tonight, and that your kingdom and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it may be found in our time together, and that we might realize afresh, too, that we want your will in matters having to do with us personally and collectively as a church. We do ask, Lord Father, that you would give us food tonight. You blessed us in so many ways today, and spiritual food, and now we expect that you'll do that tonight, Lord, also. But we do need help. And so bless us as we would pray in the name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
If you'll turn to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 29, and 30. I was here earlier, and I want us to go back and consider these two subjects, or this subject, and that is, I'm on a diet, and I hope that you all are on a diet too. But this kind of diet goes like this. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And that sound like a diet to you? You know, I've been on diets. Do I look like I'm on a diet? Well, I kind of wish my granddaughter was here. She's doing very well. They're asking her in medical institutions to come and present her program on diets. And most of you have been on a diet. Some of you are probably now. Got news for you. I've been there, done that, in their yo-yos. For when you lose weight, the cells have a way of saying, we're hungry, we're going to make more. And so if you don't stay with it forever and ever, amen, you're going to get heavy. You mark my word. Well, what do you see a diet here? Are you reading into something here? No, I see that there's some comparison to the matter of diets. And the word diet has the word D-I-E in it. Diet. And so, spiritually speaking, that's not a bad idea to diet. And I'm talking about a realm of theology tonight that I don't think is too popular, and that is the mortification of the flesh, the mortification of sins. I've asked for prayer because it's a subject that I don't know if any preacher can arrive on it. We don't get perfection here. We can purposely strive, but we don't get perfection here. So if you think that a preacher has to preach something that he has perfection on, and he knows all about, well, you better find somebody else, because I don't find perfection here, nor do I find it in you. And so with that understanding, there are certain views about this business of sin, and I'm speaking primarily to believers. However, it's application for those that are lost, too, here tonight, but believers. And I sat under a preacher for a while, and he said this matter of sin is that you just simply let go of what your sin is and let God take care of it. He also used an illustration that he used in the pulpit. He said, this is your sin. You see that? That's your sin, yeah? Well, I want you to do this. You say, God, this is my sin. Yes? And so he said, throw it away. I hope the janitor gets that. She will. Now, that's not the answer. That sounds good. Put your problem there and throw it away. In fact, I've done that, but it's not really the answer. And then there are those that you hear on the TV, and it said, listen, if you'll do what I tell you, then you can be like me. I'm successful. And if you want health and wealth, then send me so much dollars and I'll send you my book. That's it. That's not it either, friends. That's not what the Bible's teaching. And then there are some people who call them sovereign grace people. Woo, be careful here, preacher. Don't you know this is Sovereign Grace Church? Yeah, I know it. But there are some who I think are hyper-sovereign grace people, and they said, hey, it's all up to God. Let God will do everything. It is up to God. No, wait a minute. There is responsibility, a lot of it. I'm talking to believers. I'm not talking to lost people. Yeah, we're not talking salvation. We're talking about sanctification. Get it straight. And so there are those who also just say, well, what you want to do is just get away from the world. Go into some monastery and get away from this wicked world. Do like they all say, well, the monastery idea, neglect. Neglect the world, just forget about it. But there is another way of looking at this diet, and it has to do that you first must have a new birth. You have to be a new creature in Christ. Don't get any ideas other than that tonight. But after you're in Christ, it talks about that we need to work out our salvation. Work out my salvation? That's what it says in the book of Philippians. You've got to be working at something as a believer. And the Bible says holiness. Be holy as I'm holy, God says. Well, count me out. No. Get on the diet. And even though you're on the diet, godly men like old Isaiah, he said, woe is me. He's a godly man. Paul, the great apostle, said, oh, wretched man that I am. What? He's a great man. And he says that in his last days, he said, I have fought a good fight. Good fight. Yeah, there's a battle going on. And the battle is with sin. Now, Matthew 5, verse 29 and 30. Man. How am I supposed to understand that? It's a metaphor. It's not to be taken, what I would say, hyper literally. Don't take it literally. No. It's a metaphor. And the Lord Jesus saying, you got some darling sins? That's what John Owen called them, darling sins. I've been reading Owen. Boy, he's rough. He's an old Puritan. But a great theologian, and it's harder than plowing. But anyway, Owen says, this has to do, verse 29 and 30, with darling sins. Or maybe you could put besetting sin. Now don't sit there and look like you don't know what I'm talking about. There are areas that we have problems with, don't we? And that's what this is all about. And it says here, the Lord Jesus said, you better deal with them. Well, but Lord, I don't want to run around with an eye plucked out and a hand, right hand cut off, mutilation. Mutilation, Lord, we'd all look like a bunch of stumps if we were taken seriously. wouldn't have any hands, wouldn't have any eyes. Would that be the answer? That's not the answer. You got to understand that we believe in a literal understanding, but the Lord said, I'm the door. He wasn't literally a door, but you have to know what he means. And that's what it's saying here in the metaphor. And so I want you to see this, if you can. He's saying it's going to cost you something. Some people think, now I know the Lord, and I have everything, got it made in the shade, and I don't have to go to church if I don't want to. I don't have to give if I don't want to. I've just been saved. The Lord's saying, I want to tell you something. You got a task. It has to do with sin as a Christian. And we're all different. I know contextually what it's saying here. But before we get to that, he said, I want some radicalness. I want you to be radical. Boy, I hear a preacher ask you to be a radical. No, the Lord Jesus is saying being radical, not the preacher. I'm just mouthing what he was saying here. He said, if you don't get radical about your darling sin, it'll be a snowball effect. You won't get any better. You'll get worse. You'll get depressed. You'll get miserable. He said, take care of it. Boy, I don't like the depression, do you? You know, he said, be radical. I got to tell you something. There may be some books that you need to burn in your house, from your house, and some magazines. You may have to throw some things for the dump. Well, you may have to get rid of the computer. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, now that's radical, Lord. He said, you think that's radical? Then listen to me. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. If it is for this problem for thee, that the one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into what? Into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. And if it is profitable for thee, that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. Who's radical? Well, I want to share this with you. This was by way of Associated Press. Friday of this past week. Well, what do you want to show you? I want to show you this man, and they put that picture. I think he's 54 years of age. Don't know about that age quite. Maybe 45. Anyway, it says, an unlikely match ends in death. Well, I don't care. Well, now, wait a minute. Brian Lee Rendon was educated as the minister. Oh, going to talk about preachers. Yeah, that's a good subject. Felicia Tang Lee, she appeared in adult films. A preacher in a... He's now accused of torturing and killing her in the home they shared in Monrovia. That's in California, I think. Brian Lee Rendon was arrested and charged with killing and torturing Felissa Tang Lee. He is in jail in lieu of $2 million bail, Associated Press, September the 25th, 2009. That's Friday. And I copied this down as from the Associated Press also. Listen, it quote, Rendon graduated, and listen to this, he graduated from Moody Bible Institute, Chicago. Whoa, now wait a minute, that's an evangelical school. I knew some guys that went there and graduated from there, my old preacher. You know D.L. Moody? He's a founder. It has been pretty good school, interdenominational. So, he graduated from Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and he has a Master's of Divinity degree from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. The San Gabriel Valley Tribune said. What's this have to do with anything? Hey, a graduate of Moody Bible Institute, a minister, and has a master's degree in divinity from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And what? He tortured and killed some woman? You better listen up. Mortifying sin is something that's, hey, take a look at him. You might want to pray. I don't know what you want to do. Pass it around. Take a look at him. Maybe you want to kill him. Well, if he's done that, he's going to rest his life in jail. You know that. Maybe they'll execute him. Maybe you want to pray. Maybe you want to look at it. That can't be. Well, I'll read you a little more, because I want you to get the whole sense of mortification of our sins. He is a one-time contestant. Who? That guy. He's a one-time contestant on, quote, the sexiest bachelor in America, end quote. Oh, come on. Who, according to his website, he traveled the world ministering as a Christian mime. Mime, that is a... They go through... I've seen this. They don't say anything. But they go through character portrays and do things like, for instance, if you saw a mime, he'd go like this. You'd say, well, he's just saying he's drinking some water or something. This is what he did. Now, I want to tell you something. If you think that this isn't interesting, let me tell you something. If you took a class in sociology in college, which I did, you took a class in psychology, which I did, you'd say, boy, this would make great stuff. Because look at all the things that this man, and say, well, wow, look at this. Now, she was a model, an entertainer who had bit parts in Hollywood blockbusters and featured roles in adult films. Now, Brian Lee Random is accused of torturing and killing Felicity Tang Lee inside the home they shared in Monrovia. Shortly after noon on September 11th, Random, he's 45 years of age. He called 911 to report that his girlfriend of several months was not breathing. Authorities found Felicity Lee, 31, dead in the home she shared with Random in the 500 block of West Dort. Almost sounds like Dort. Court, Dort. Doherty Road. So when the officers arrived on the scene, they determined the evidence did not support Randon's account of what really happened. So Lieutenant Gellinger of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, he said, Randon was arrested within hours and was charged 4 days later for killing and torturing Lee. He's in jail in lieu of $2 million. Bail. Lee, an actress and a model, has been beaten and choked, the authorities said. A prosecutor said torture charges were filed because of the severity of her injuries and evidence that she died slowly. Coroner's officials said that they would not discuss Lee's injuries because they're still waiting for the test results. The official cause of death has been deferred pending upon those findings. Randon's court-appointed attorney did not return calls seeking comment. Randon appeared in court September the 15th, at which time his arraignment was continued until Tuesday. He has not entered a plea. On paper, at least, the pair seemed like an unlikely match. It does seem like an unlikely match, preacher. Living with a porn star? Come on now, this is way out. It says, unlikely match, and I'm going to finish up here. He was educated as the minister, and she appeared nude in adult films, but he'd also worked as an actor and a model, representing Nebraska in the 2000 Fox television show called The Sexiest Bachelor in America. Those who know the couple said that they began dating after meeting in April at a swimming pool at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. At the time of Lee's death, they had been living together for about 4 months, the deputy district attorney said. Now, you know, I sometimes feel as a preacher, say, do you have to talk so plain about some things? I mean, they've got young folk here. Wouldn't it be better you just kind of overlook that and just go on? Suppose we would take some of the medication for the animals that's really poisonous. And I just take the label poison off and say, here it is. You dare not take labels off. You've got to be looking at these things. You're living today. These are things that are going on. These are folk who say, and she says, well, listen to this. She was raised a Catholic. She posed nude in the adult films and on counters, appeared in programming on the Playboy channel and worked as a model at car import shows. She also had a small parts in movies called The Fast and the Furious, Rush Hour 2, Cradle 2, The Grave, according to a resume posted on her website. More recently, friends said she began working to become a licensed real estate agent. She was born in Singapore. Later attended Catholic schools in Australia, according to a statement released by her family after death. Later, she moved to Los Angeles with her family and studied marketing and business administration. And it goes on to tell about the family said, they say she loved life and all that. Hey, is this sin a big deal or not? If you were to look at this sociologic and say, man, oh, dang, that guy was way out in left field. I ask you a question. You think that he might be a Christian? Oh, no, 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 no. Well, I kind of agree that you may be right, but you'd have to find out first how he believed about the Lord Jesus. Well, he's not going to go to heaven. I'm not going to get into that. I'm just saying you can judge righteously, but it's scary. I think with all that training, and some of you have had a lot of training too, and you say, well, I didn't have Moody Bible and student Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary and a master's degree. No, maybe not, but you've had training. Or we've had training. Listen, I feel badly probably if Felissa ended up in hell. I feel badly that if this 45-year-old man doesn't get things straight, that's where he's gone too. Oh no, you shouldn't talk like that. Listen, if I say, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll die and go to hell, you say, that's hateful language. What's hateful about it? If your house is on the fire and I holler and say, get out of your house, it's going to burn. Would you appreciate it if you were asleep and I woke you up? Yes, you would. Or there's some poisonous snakes. I just let them go and bite you. I don't care. No, no. We got to get some things straight. I don't like to talk that way either, but it's true. And so I'm saying to you that there's a matter of an inward problem. An inward problem. I said to you the other Sunday, I guess it was, I made a statement that in our society it's getting so, and I'll read this, just one little sentence. It's talking about the cultural industries in the United States. It talks about the estimated pornography price of pleasure. Listen to this. Once relegated to the margins of society, pornography has become one of the most visible and profitable sectors of the culture industries of the United States. It is estimated that the pornography industry annual revenue has reached $13 billion. How up-to-date is this? Up-to-date. $13 billion. At the same time, the contents of pornography has become more aggressive and more overtly sexist and racist. I don't want to hear any more of that. Maybe there needs to be taken some computers to the dump. How about it? Not just you guys. You girls are, they have records on you girls too. Maybe that TV, as Victor Smith, he shot his. He came home, the baby wasn't taken care of, and she was watching TV, and he took his shotgun and shot the TV. Hey, maybe that's what needs to be done. Hey, evil communications corrupts good manners. If you don't have enough of brains to check things out, throw the thing out. You have a remote. You have access to find out whether good programs or not. There's no excuse for us adults. When I was back on the farm, oh, here he goes again. I was a kid. Yeah, well, so we all were. My boss, he'd say, now, Johnson, my dad's name is John. Yeah, I know that. He said, Johnson, I want you to go out there in that hayfield up there above the barn. I want you to pull out that yellow mustard. Look at that. Thank God it wasn't full of yellow mustard, but there was a lot there. We used to do that in the old days. Anybody ever hear that before? Thank you. Go out there and pull those things. You mean literally get down and pull it? Yep. Whoo. And so I wanted to be a good employee, and I worked like a bee. I yanked those things out and threw them all around. I was really, and I did this more than 1 year, friends. My boss would say, well, it looks like you got them. I hope you pulled the roots out. Don't bet on that. I'm going to tell you something. Next year they came up again. I thought you pulled out those mustard, that yellow mustard. I worked at it. Why did they come up the next year? You need to learn this. This is the way sin is. You know, if you think getting victory over sin is a complete eradicating of it, a killing it completely, I got news for you. You cannot kill sin completely. You say, I think you're wrong. And now you just a minute. If we get perfect here in this life, that's different. But none of us are going to be perfect here until Jesus Christ comes and we get glorified. And as long as we're imperfect, we have in us the roots, the old nature of sin in us. Now, I can pull it out. I can, you know, you say, well, you pulled out, you killed. Yeah, but I want to tell you, it's not quite, the word diet is not quite it. Because if there's a little bit of roots left in that mustard, it's going to come back up. Especially if it gets rain and there's some nutrients given to it, it'll come up next year. You say, I used to smoke. I used to drink. And I don't have that problem anymore. Thank God. But I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit of God, you wouldn't know anything about that. But He's given you grace. He's given you help. But I want to tell you something. If you get careless, it might be there's some roots there and you'll take up drinking, maybe smoking or whatever on the side. I'm talking now habitual. I say that because I've been fishing already and I lit up a cigar to keep the mosquitoes and the bugs away. I'm not talking that way. But I'm saying, friends, don't get the idea that diet that the spiritual diet is one that it kills completely. I wish it were true. When Christ comes, we'll be perfect then, and no more sin, no more this, and no more that. But this, contextually, and you can say, well, I didn't appreciate all that stuff you said, but look at verse 27 contextually. I'm not far out in the left field. I don't think I'm out at all. What did the Lord Jesus say contextually about this matter of pulling out, plucking out your eye, cutting off your right hand? Contextually, it says, he said, ye have heard that it was said, I'm in Matthew 5, verse 27, that them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's from Exodus 20, verse 14 of the Ten Commandments. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And then he goes on, if thy right eye offend thee. Say, it must be a big deal. $13 billion. Yes, it must be a big deal. Well, Lord, he looks like a pretty nice fella. He'd probably be a better husband than I have presently. Lord, she looks like a pretty nice woman. Maybe better than the wife I have now. The Lord said, now listen, I hate divorce. And he said, they two shall be one. And he said, you got to get radical about it. She's your wife. He's your husband. Now listen, get radical about it. That's the only one for me. Wouldn't it be nice, and I believe it is possible, it'd be nice, that instead of looking at people and say, wow, that's something there, yeah, that we could look at the person and say, you know, I appreciate that person. And if it's a Christian, I'm talking to Christians, say, I appreciate that person and I love that person in Christ. Instead of always thinking, well, you know, wouldn't that be something? The Lord Jesus said, listen, you wake up. Listen, the Christians are getting divorced as much as the worldlings. Don't tell me there's no big deal here. If you don't mortify the sins that is saying to us, and look at it, say, I'm not too interested in this. It ain't any big deal with me. I don't seem to have any problems. That's an indication you're lost. What is? Oh, I don't have any problem with sin. Hey, suppose I do. I don't have any problems. You don't have any problems? No, not really. Well, according to the Lord Jesus, that's pretty indicative that you don't know Christ as your Savior. Look at it. Look at the last words of verse 29 and 30. You're going to go to hell. I thought you said we're talking to Christians. Well, Christians can... Some of you may have a false idea that you really know the Lord, but sin is no big deal with you. I don't lose any sleep over sin, you know. Hey, we all sin, so what? No, no, no. He's saying, listen, this is a big deal. He said, if you don't, it's an indicator. It's an indicator that you don't know the Lord if there's no problem. No problem. But is he teaching mutilation here? Of course he's not teaching mutilation. He's not saying it literally to take your eyes out and your arms off, your hands off. He's not talking about that. He's saying you ought to be so radical about it and take drastic actions, as you're saying, about our sins. Let's take it personal. Now, for instance, if I go to Ephesians, go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll give you some idea. Ephesians what? Chapter 4. And look at that verse 28. Why? Well, it'll help us, I believe. Suppose you have a problem with stealing. He's writing to a church at Ephesus. Apparently some Christians have a problem with stealing. Verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. What's it saying? I have no problem stealing. You do? Stop it. Pardon me? Stop it. That may not be as easy as you think. Drastically. This is what it's saying. Stop it. Die it. Die what? Die it. Put it away. No more. Some people know it's things are wrong, but they don't stop. Now, this verse here said, put anything else in there you want to. Put anything else in there you want to. Say you have a problem walking past the newspaper or the magazine rack. Stop it! Yeah, well, okay. Suppose you have trouble with the internet and these popping up. Stop it! They're still on off on the TV. Oh, no. Yes! Well, that isn't so profound. Don't you minimize it. Because we need to starve those things that will excite the sin in our lives. Do what? Starve the things that will contribute to exciting your darling sin or your besetting sin or the one that doesn't go away. I like what old evangelist Dusty Rhodes, now gone with the Lord, I really do believe that. He said he would like to have a good steak, and I said, yeah. I called around and said, where's the best steak in Williamsport? This is years ago. Someone said, the hotel has the best. And so we called, and he said, oh, yeah. So my wife and I took Dusty and his wife. We're walking in. I told you this before, the Light Coming Hotel then it was called. And he walks in, and they're playing music that he used to play in the world before he come to know Christ. Got about halfway across, maybe three-quarters of the way across that room. People were, eyes closed, they're dancing. He said, turned to me and said, come on, let's get out of here. Now that's radical. Wouldn't you be strong enough a Christian just to, you know, just go on to the next room? That's radical. I didn't particularly have that problem. He had a problem because he played in the worldly. He said, let's get out of here. That's what you might have to do. Don't go anywhere, dear friends, or nowhere where this particular sin will crop up and cause you to be discomfortable or uncomfortable. Do nothing that will excite that particular problem you have, or problems. I only hope you only have at least one problem. Because most people have a lot of problems. You ever hear of thinking ahead? Oh yeah, I always figure out financially how I'm going to do it. I'm really in business. How about spiritually, do you think ahead? Well, what is there to think ahead? Where are you going? Well, I don't. Is that the way you would treat your business? I don't know. It's strange. We give more due concentration upon the material than we do the spiritual. Oh, well, I'm saved. Preacher, I don't have to worry about a thing. God saved me. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Why you bother about this? Listen. The Bible tells us that our good deeds that please the Lord, they follow us as we go to heaven. There is such a thing as putting a crown on for the Lord Jesus. I believe there's places of authority for those of you, have done your best, whatever capacity you have, and you die and go to be with the Lord, and the Lord Jesus comes and sets up the new heaven and new earth. He said, I need somebody to manage that particular of this earth. I think I'll have Brother So-and-so take care of that section. He's been faithful And I think I'll have him take care of that. So I believe that's what the Bible talks about. No, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about anything. It's okay. Don't get worried. Will it trap me? What'd you say? If I go there without thinking, will I get trapped? Maybe it needs to be taken to the burner. If you can't have a burner, well, you know what you can do. You can take it to the dump. The Bible talks about the narrow way and the broad way. An indication that you really mean business of Jesus Christ, you take the narrow way, not the broad way. And I don't bother myself with things because I know the Lord. No, you take the narrow way. That's a sign of a real Christian. Do you think that the indication of your life would show that you're on the narrow road, or would it show that you're on Broadway? Fought word indeed. It might be that you better break off that relationship. What? It might be that you better break off that relationship that you have with that individual or those individuals. You spend more time with the lost than you do with the Christians. No. Evil communications corrupts good manners. I've often said this, and ladies, you know I have affection for you. Ladies, you know I'm not. But I'm saying most men are followers of women. Where the little lady says, the superior wife says, that's what the men do. Ladies, now you know, I say that in kindness because I'll tell you one thing. We menfolk have a lot to be desired. We have not arrived. Well, let the little lady take care of it. She's the religious one of the family. Isn't that beautiful? And you're the big shot. Well, I take care of the bread and butter at least. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added on to you. What are you supposed to do, man? You're supposed to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. By the way, who's going to get all the stuff that you have or we have when you take us to the cemetery? Most of the experiences I had, the family will fight over it. Aren't you a nice pop? Aren't you a nice mom? Spend all your time on those things and the kids fight over it. No, they won't. Don't kid yourself. Galatians 6. Mortification of sins is a problem, I believe. And I'm only kicking the tires here tonight. I think there's more to be said about this. I'm not convinced that we preachers are letting it go and people just make everybody happy and don't say anything and let them be comfortable and have a good feel. Galatians 6, a good feel service. I don't want to be unkind, but there is this. Look at verses 7 and 8. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, capital letter S, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Pretty serious. Pretty serious. Don't be deceived about this. When I said to the fellows in baptism last Sunday morning, man, that's a hard baptismal vow. With the help of God, will you renounce, God helping you, will you renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil? That is a tremendously hard vow to take. How are you doing with something like that? That's for all of us. What? God helping you, Will you renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil? That's the word of God. Now you're making it too hard. I'm not interested. We Baptists, we can do like that Baptist preacher that passed around. No, my heart breaks. I'm sad. It says, either we put away sin or sin will put us into hell. I thought you said this is for Christians. I thought I said if we're not, as an indication that we're not trying to get rid of sin and put it down, that it's an indication that we really aren't Christians. That's not contradictory. Oh, but give me some good news. Sure will. Romans 8. Oh, yeah, you're going to go to all things work together. No, I'm not. Romans 8. That's a great verse, by the way. Look at verse 12 of Romans 8. I'll read a few verses here. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. Not to the flesh. To live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify. There, that word is. Do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How I love that verse. I don't mean to be silly. I love that verse. It says, if we're led by the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. You say, preachers, I can't do this. By the Spirit. Look at verse 14. By the help of the Spirit, through the help of the Holy Spirit. What about the help? For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, that's precious. I think I can sleep on that. That'll help me. And so, if we want to live in harmony with the Spirit of God, we're going to say, Spirit of God, direct me. Guide me. Direct me. Help me. If you're so proud, I am so proud, I cannot ask God to help me and go around and say, God help me, God help me. Hey, I've helped myself, thank you. You die and go to hell. What good is that pride going to do in hell walking around? You won't have pride like that in hell. You'll find that you'll be screaming. You'll be so humble and so disgusted with yourself that you walked around like a peacock. And there are some people who walk around like peacocks. How great I am. Pardon me, speak for yourself. I'm a great person. No, you're not. You're a sinner like all of us. And so if we have the Spirit of God, verse 14 of Romans 8, He will what? He'll enable us. And what we'll do, He'll enable us to fight against the flesh. And if you don't have His power, you're lost. Now my grandson, he quoted to me Psalm 119, a verse or two. And I'm not embarrassing like I did the other Sunday, but boy, he did a good job, I'm telling you. And Psalm 119, what a psalm that is about the Word of God. What are you going to give us about the Word of God? Hey, it is by the Word of God. And it's Psalm 119. If you look at that, please. And that's verse 9. Yes. Oh, the Word. Well, while you're thinking. Isn't that good? You see verse 9 too? Where it says there, be careful. You can trust yourself and you think you're doing just fine. What'd it say? It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Trust in the Lord. So it's an inward thing. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Yep. Now, that which is in comes out and it shows. But it's an inward thing with Christians. And sin has a way of overpowering our minds. It has a way of overpowering our affections. Yeah, it does. It has a way, dear friends, of dominating. Sin has a way of dominating us. But if we're in Christ, we're no longer slaves to sin. We're freed Christians, as I said Wednesday night. And Christ died for our sins. And we're no longer under the power of sin. I still like my illustration. Can I give it again? Stuart Briscoe, he said he was in the United States Marines. Yes, sir. And he said that we had a sergeant major. He was tough as nails. And man, did he ever give it to us. We had to walk upright and everything had to be perfect or he'd give us a gone over. And he said the time came when he said, I had my discharge and my papers all wrapped up in my hand. And he says, I'm walking down. And here comes the major, sergeant major. And by nature, he just couldn't hardly help it. He almost went into that stance and give him a salute. But it occurred to him, I'm no longer in the Marine Corps. I'm no longer under the domination of the Marine Corps. And he did not salute to his sergeant major. And sergeant major, I guess his mouth almost touched the ground. All that I taught that guy, and he didn't give me a salute. No longer am I under the dominion of Satan's power if we know Jesus Christ. Will you believe that? We help and pray for one another that we believe such a thing. And if we believe such a thing, it'll be a long way towards coming to being what Christ wants us to be. If you haven't come to Christ, you need to come to Christ. That's the word. And if you're a Christian here tonight, as some of us say we would, and if the Bible says we're to be on a path of holiness. Yes, it is. The Bible teaches that. And he said, we need to die it. It needs to be weakened. That sin needs to be weakened. We need to fight against it. I have fought a good fight, the Apostle Paul said. There's a battle going on inside. Fight against it. For if you give a sin an inch, it'll take a mile. And if you get careless, it'll snowball onto you. And it may happen so horribly that somebody's going to say, what in the world ever happened to him? Whatever happened to her? I can't believe it. I went to Sunday school with them. I went to church with them. And look at this. Look what happened.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.